Blog Talk Radio.
You know, we're dealing with a very critical and crucial time. Most crucial and critical times that I've ever witnessed, being as young as I am, you know. We all don't want to say nothing else, so we say as young as we are. Now, I want to talk about the pronunciation and the realization. Now, the educator, they call it ESP, positive thinking, right? Some of the people on the cross other side of the pond call it vibration, astrology, and all those different things, you understand? But I call what it is what it is. What it is what it is. Look at him. Now you see, a brother, you take in the ghetto, you find a whole lot of crime. I can understand, hey, I know what it means. Being 9 years old before I got my first pair of underwear out of a store. You know, putting on a half-pressed suit from the pawn shop with tennis shoes. Trying to be hip. So I know where it's coming from. Like the fella say, having catfish head stew. And look like the catfish went in there with his head and come out very quick and didn't leave nothing else. Now, it's one thing the educators and the politicians and the establishment got to remember. Now, brothers need jobs. If you don't work, you can't eat. If you don't work, you can't eat. Get hip to yourself, good God, my brother, and get it from the street.
Welcome to the Goon Squad Sports Radio Show. It's I, Puma, with Ice Water. Black Thor is doing his thing, trying to help the holiday travelers get on their way. Hopefully that brother's being safe and helping folks be safe. How you doing, Ice Water?
I'm good, brother. You put that escapism on. Mind power.
Ice, I didn't tell you, and I might have stolen this title from you, but pretty soon, probably in the month of December, I'm going to start a podcast called The One, where we're going to play funky music from the United States and from the globe. So I want folks to kind of check that out. I'm trying to remember if you had that idea of that name or not, but I'm calling it The One because that's what James Brown said, you got to be on The One. And if you ain't on The One, you ain't got it, son.
Oh, my God. He done took my shirt and everything. What the hell?
You know, I put up a website, not a website, but a Facebook page. I'm still working on it. Maybe in December we'll do the first show. And I would love to have you on it or you to comment on it, but we'll let you know about that. But the world needs some more funk, so that's what we're going to do with that show. But anywho, this is a sports show. And we just finished up the first 40. I'll be editing that and putting that up on YouTube. If you haven't subscribed to our YouTube channel, it's the Goon Squad Sports Radio Podcast on YouTube. We had a little bit of a following, but we need more of you to follow. I know I'm getting comments from folks who really love the show and love what we're doing, but share it, tell a friend. Do you have any overlapping topics that you want to talk about from the first 40 to jump off the overtime here on the Goon Squad?
Just want to encourage people to really dive into this college football playoff scenario now, because it's really starting to get sticky. It's going to be interesting. Every game counts now. And I just suggest with all of the most recent rankings that people start to pay attention and get connected, because now it's like a one to two play, almost like a one playoff scenario. If you lose, then that could be your opportunity to make the playoffs.
And I tell folks that a lot of folks that I know that follow NFL football, gotta start watching college. That's where the excitement, especially around this time of year, where just like what I said, if you lose, you're out. And I can't wait till they go to. I know they've been talking about this and some changes in the formatting for college football. Maybe in the next few years, the 18 playoff or 16, whatever they decide to do, it will be exciting to see. Later on, we could probably talk a little bit about and get your views on the NBA trying to change up their format and how you feel about that. They've been talking about it for the last couple of years, but they're really, to me, seriously thinking about doing it because, from my opinion, and we can talk about this later, folks aren't coming to the game and folks aren't excited about the NBA. And so the format, I think, is exciting, but we'll talk about that. But before we talk about that, we're going to talk some NFL. We're going to do our picks, of course. Some folks have changed. Icewater is no longer in the basement by himself. So Black Door is – he's been slipping there. I don't know whether he's trying to lose or what. He's been making some wild picks lately. So I don't know. I don't know. We're going to be talking some NCAA football and basketball. We're also going to talking about some boxing. The semifinalists for the – NFL Hall of Fame. We'll talk about that a little bit. If we have some time left over, we'll talk boxing again with Gamboa and Davis coming up this weekend. And any questions that we have, we'll wrap up the show. But let's go through the results from last week. The results from last week. You, me, and Pop had a 10-4 record last week in the picks in week 12. Blackthorne didn't do bad. He did over 500, but it was an 8-6 record. And I want your views on that because now you and Black are tied for third place. Pop is in second place, and he's getting too close for comfort. He's behind about 7 games behind me. That's too close because Pop is sneaky, and I'm still holding down first place. But your views, man, things have changed a little bit for you.
Yeah, well, I know Black Thor is going to say that he hasn't been able to concentrate due to his other obligations, and that's fine. You can write, you can put whatever you want to it. Still got some stank on it to me. That's what it seemed like to me when you're on the front. So you can say what you want to. You can, I guess he says he's going to feel sorry for him, whatever the case may be. I appreciate you. So now we headed up, going up. We're going up on our way back up. So that's what we're going to do. You've been doing well, man. Like I said, I told you from the outset, after a while it's going to be hard to catch you. We're so deep now, I'm just going to try to find my place and get ready for basketball. But until the end, I'm going to keep pushing. Keep pushing through, being more calculated. And congratulations to Pop. This has been a turnover season where, like you said, the cream has definitely risen to the top. You and Pop. Been lagging a little bit in the past year, but now it's your
time.
So, you know, and that's fine. Sooner or later, you got to do something. So, congratulations early. As long as you don't do nothing too crazy. But it would take a miracle for you to lose. I'm just telling you that right now. It would take a miracle. You have to really mess up, and I don't see that you doing that because I know you want to win real bad, even though you would never say it. You want to be called a title. The way you held the football last couple times, you want to be the champion. You want to be the outright champion of this league, and I can see it. I can hear it in your voice, and I can see it in your eyes, and when you shake that football, like, who's number one? Who's 1-1? Finally! So congratulations. You know what? I'm big enough to let you have your moment. But when basketball starts, it's a different ball.
Yeah.
So get ready. Enjoy now.
Yeah, it's gonna be an up and down year in basketball because you never know who's gonna upset who. We'll talk about that a little later too. Let's go through the records. It's Ice and Black are tied for third, and they have 105 victories and 70 losses with one tie. Pop is in second with 112 victories, 63 losses, and one tie. And I'm in first place with 119 victories, 56 losses, and one tie. So we're going to go to our picks right now. And the order has changed. So we've been changing the order. I think this has been a big difference, too, because for the past few years, we used to have one person kind of in the same order for 4 weeks. But since we changed it over, a lot of kind of funny things have happened. So me and Pop seem to be maneuvering that a little bit. And I don't know. It, to me, it's a little different. I like it a little bit. So the order in week 13 is Pop. Then I'm coming second. Black Door is already sent me his pick. He's coming third. And Ice Water is last with the picks this evening. So we're going to start it off with, let's see, Chicago and Detroit. And so Chicago had a great game last – well, I wouldn't say great. They had a decent game against the Giants. And the Giants had lost a kind of a close one. They were trying to come back. They missed some opportunities, some field goals that would have helped them win the game. But I guess in this part of the season, I tend not to watch teams that have losing records and have no possibility of getting in the playoffs, because what are they really playing for? Some of them are probably playing for jobs, but I usually – so I kind of peeked at this game, but I didn't really look at this game. But that's beside the fact. Let's go to the picks. On Turkey Day, it's Chicago versus Detroit. Pop is going with Chicago. I usually go with Detroit on Turkey Day, but I think I saw reports that the quarterback is not going to be – the second-string quarterback is out. Now they got a third-string quarterback coming in. And so I just don't think that that's going to bode well for the Detroit Lions. So I'm going to go with Chicago reluctantly. Black Door is going with Detroit on Turkey Day. Ice, who you got?
Wow, this is tough because I usually smell it in because Detroit can play well against anybody. With all those injuries, it's going to be hard. So I'm going to go with Chicago on the road.
All right. Next game on tap is Buffalo versus Dallas. Dallas took it on the chin in Foxborough. Some people are saying that the referees are wearing the Patriots uniforms in that game and the Phantom Trip and all that other stuff. But nonetheless, New England comes out victorious. But this week, Buffalo goes to Dallas on Thursday. Pop is going with Dallas. I'm going to go with Buffalo. I think with Gore, who is now moving up the ranks in the rushing totals and yards, I think they're going to pound the ball with Dallas and it's going to make a boring game and a lot of folks are going to fall asleep during that game. But I think Buffalo's defense can really handle the Dallas Cowboys. And I think that offense, they have a much better quarterback than they're used to playing against, who can sling the ball in that running game. And they haven't beat a team with a winning record. And the Buffalo Bills have an 8-3 record. So I'm going with the Buffalo Bills. Black is going with Dallas. Who you got, Ice?
Yeah, Allen is pretty good. He's shown a lot. John Brown's starting to get hot lately for Buffalo. But I think the Cowboys have been put on notice. Jerry Jones is talking about it. I think they were pissed off. They thought they had a chance to beat New England. And I don't think it would be hard for them to come home and lose in such a manner to Buffalo. So with that being said, I think they're going to find a way. I'm going with Dallas.
All right. Next game on tap is New Orleans versus Atlanta. Now, New Orleans caught it on the chin from Atlanta. Atlanta came in to Louisiana and in their stadium and beat the brakes off them. And I know New Orleans is talking about going to the Super Bowl, but if you can't get by Atlanta, then that's going to be a hard hard sell to try to get to the Super Bowl. So Pop is going with New Orleans. I'm going with New Orleans too. Black is going with New Orleans to try to avenge that victory, avenge that game that they lost so bad to the Atlanta Falcons a couple of weeks ago. Ice, what you got?
Going with New Orleans as well. For those who play fantasy football, you might want to pick up New Orleans' defense because I think they're going to be some big payback coming up on Atlanta to show them, one, that they can score more than 9 points, two, that they're going to get off after Matt Ryan, and they're pissed off the fact that they lost the way that they did, and they want to do it in front of their fans. So, New Orleans.
Yeah, I mean, they embarrassed New Orleans last game. Next game on tap is Philadelphia versus Miami. Cleveland got into Miami last week, and they're feeling good about themselves. But, again, it's Miami. They're tanking the season pretty much. Pop is going with Philly. I'm going with Philly also. Philly has to do something to get back in that playoff race. and solidify their spot. Black Thor is going with Philly. Ice, who you got?
I would love to go with Miami. Fitz Magic for half a quarter, but it's simply not going to happen. They have they're on the third running back right now because I think their first running back is suspended, and the backup running back is averaging about maybe 2.1 yards a carry. You can't win any ball games like that, so I'm going with Philadelphia.
Yeah, and Philly, they have to do something about that wide receiving core because it seems like Wentz doesn't have anybody to throw it to. Ever since Jackson has been injured, they just haven't had the spark on that in the passing game with Philly. But they got to put it together because if they don't make a run right now, and they got, I think, an easier schedule than Dallas at this particular point, I think they have to make hay right now. And if they don't, then they don't deserve to be in the playoffs. Tennessee versus Indianapolis. Papa's going with Tennessee. They've been playing well lately. I'm going with Tennessee also. With Henry, he's been running the ball real strong lately. And Black Thor is going with Tennessee also. Ice, who you got?
Wow, that's interesting. Tennessee. They have been playing well.
Mm-hmm. Tennessee.
Don't believe the hype. I'm going with my boy Jacoby Brissett, baby. That's what we doing. Indianapolis, let's get it. Jacoby Brissett is back.
What?
I'm trying to tell y'all. Y'all sleeping on him. All right. Told you, sometimes you got to stand alone. I'm a grown man. Jacoby Brissett.
All right.
Indianapolis
at home. Washington versus Carolina. Carolina got it together last week with McCarthy. And people were talking about him being the MVP, but now it's Lamar Jackson. But this guy might just turn it on and make people think twice about it if Baltimore kind of falters in any kind of way. But Pop picked Carolina. I can't see Carolina faltering against Washington. And Black picks Carolina also at home. Ice, who you got?
Congratulations on Dwayne Haskins getting his first start. I win as a starter, even though he was in the crowd.
Taking selfies. Come on, man.
Whenever you get on it. He's young. They won. Get off of him. If he was losing, then you still talking about he's horrible. He got overexcited. One play, it's all right. Still in the winning column.
Come on.
Get off of him.
Act
get
like you've been there before.
Maybe he hasn't because they ain't won. How about him as quarterback? The hell you mean?
Act like it. Act like you've been there before.
No, he didn't know. Hey, did they win? The coach said he'll be all right. We just got to talk to him. Moving on. But with all that being said, I think Carolina's going to have too much for him. And I watched Washington last week, and they did everything they could to get that game away. And I don't see they did everything they could. I was like, oh, my goodness. From missing field goals, I was like, what the hell? I thought the way the kicker was kicking field goals, I thought he was kicking barefoot. What the hell's going on? Is this Tom Dempsey? Anyway, I'm going with Carolina.
Oh, man. All right, this was going to be the game of the week right here. San Francisco versus Baltimore. San Francisco coming off the big win last week, along with Baltimore beating the brakes off the Los Angeles Rams. I don't think they'll ever be the same after seeing Mr. Jackson just run all and up and down the field and pass on them. I think he had, five touchdowns? Wow, impressive. So Papa's going with Baltimore at home. I'm going with Baltimore, too. San Francisco traveling to the East Coast may be a little bit too much for him. So I'm going to go for Lamar Jackson. And that defense has to prove to me that they can handle Lamar Jackson. Black is also going with Baltimore. Ice, who you got?
Yeah, I'm going to stick with Baltimore. It's going to be cold, too. Might be a little chilly out that way. San Francisco, there's a little – it can be windy out there, but – the snow comes through the Midwest and then through the East Coast like it's supposed to and all that cold weather, it's going to be frigid and might be difficult for San Francisco. But I'm going to roll with Baltimore.
All right. Next game on tap is Tampa Bay versus Jacksonville. Pop is going with Tampa Bay. Y'all still going with Jameson. Okay. I'm going with Jacksonville. Black is going with Tampa Bay. Who you got, Ice?
Famous Jameis. I'm going to tell you, last week, I knew I should have picked him. I knew it. I was like, man, I should have picked him because I knew he was. One thing I will say about him, he throws the most passes in the attempts in the whole league. He's going to throw three interceptions, but he's going to give you a guaranteed 300 yards. You know what? What the hell? Fournette is struggling. Is Foles is back? Jax is back. Tampa Bay.
Same as Jameis. All right.
Yeah.
Y'all keep holding on to him. Wow. Okay. Next game on tap. This should be a no-brainer right here. The Green Bay Packers versus the New York Giants. Pop is going with Green Bay. I'm going with Green Bay. And Black is going with Green Bay. Who you got, Ice?
Definitely Green Bay. Giants try to make a little noise, but after the shellacking that Green Bay took last week, they're going to try to get back on point, and they need a victim, and I think they found it in the Giants. So I'm going with Green Bay.
What is it about Green Bay going out to California that they just can't get it together? Please help me understand that. This is the second time in a row. They've gone out to California, and
I think that certain times when you look at California, no, I said when you think about California, the teams that they played, they actually, the opponents, their style is what the opponents can stop. And we know that the Rams had a strong defense, and they know that Green Bay can be one-dimensional, and they exposed it the same way with San Francisco. They shut down what they like to do. So I think it's not so much that it's California. It's more or less the opponents that they faced.
Yeah. Yeah, but the Chargers, yeah. And the Bosa brothers just put a job on.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, I thought it was the Rams. But, yeah, the Chargers.
Bosa.
Still another tough defense than the Chargers when they show up.
Yeah. So you got Bosa brothers playing for the Chargers and the 49ers. So they probably compared notes after the game, and they did the same thing to them again. Next game on tap, this should be a fight. It's Cleveland versus Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh, Pop is picking Pittsburgh. I'm picking Pittsburgh. Black Thor's going with Cleveland. Who you got, Ice?
Yeah, y'all, you talking about somebody buying into the hype with Famous Jameis. You buying into that BS with the serial killer that got away with a misdemeanor fine. Anyway, allegedly. Pittsburgh's quarterback, Rudolph. Yeah, okay. Anyway, next topic. Nah, I'm going with Cleveland. I am.
Okay.
Pittsburgh has not shown me anything the last couple of weeks, and particularly if Schuster's out and Connor's out, I think Cleveland has a way. They would love to get paid back to beat Pittsburgh for all the years of pain.
Yeah.
Cleveland.
And Randolph is not playing, so they're bringing in the backup quarterback, which I think they should have been playing in the first place. So that should be, if not a good game, should be another good fight. Next game on tap is the Los Angeles Rams versus Arizona. It's going to surprise you. And I thought I was going out on a limb here to be the only one, but Pop is picking Arizona. I picked Arizona and had it on my sheet before I called Pop, and then Black picked Arizona. Ice, who you got?
Wow, this is crazy as hell. Y'all all picking Arizona?
Yeah, I thought I was going to be the only one. I truly thought I was going to be the only one.
Man, oh my gosh. Well, I'm jumping on the wagon. I have not seen the Rams play. I already know how they won any games, but wow. Woo, man.
No, the Rams got beat by Baltimore badly.
And
here's why I think that they are going to get beat again, because you got a mobile quarterback who can run and pass the ball. He's not Lamar Jackson, but I think he can do some Lamar Jackson things. to really terrorize the Rams. And the Rams offense is getting exposed. My little Twitter buddy who was talking about when I said the Rams were overrated and they got exposed in the Super Bowl, they've been getting exposed by teams all season. That coach is not the genius that you thought he was. And now he doesn't seem to have a clue. And with that game against Baltimore, that was ridiculous. So I haven't heard from you in a while. Hit me up on Twitter. Next game on tap is the Los Angeles Chargers versus Denver. I know you're listening because you hate me so much. Poppy's going with the Los Angeles Chargers. And I'm going with the Los Angeles Chargers, too. I just don't think that Denver, even though I don't like Rivers, I think they could do enough to beat Denver. Denver doesn't really have a good offense. Black is going with the Chargers also. Ice, who you got?
Yeah, I just wish Denver could move the ball. They're starting going back to Lindsey, their main target on as a running back. And I think they're missing out on the backup running back who's very good as well and showing his wares. So, yeah, Chargers have been playing very ugly. I think they'll find a way from the defensive standpoint to take down another one-dimensional team in Denver. So I'm going with the Chargers.
Yeah. Rivers, wow. I just have no words. And you texted me a couple of weeks ago. And you're like, you know, has Rivers been this bad? Yeah, he's been this bad for a while. Is that sidearm action that he had ever since North Carolina State, and hasn't changed. And he has a bunch of yards, had a bunch of talented players, came close but can't deliver. Next game on tap is Oakland versus Kansas City. Papa's going with Kansas City. I'm also going with Kansas City also, even though Oakland played them tough the last time, and Black Thor is going with Kansas City. Who you got?
Nah, Mahomes needs to get back on track, and they'll do well in Kansas City. And Oakland can be deceptive, like the way they got blew out about a week or so ago. So, Kansas City.
Yeah. So, are you believing in Oakland now? They're in the playoff hunt.
Well, I did for a minute until they got blew out. I was like, what the hell? They lost to the Jets?
The
Jets? Yeah, hell no.
The Jets.
You lost to the Jets like that? No way. Nope. Mm-mm.
All right. Cowboys lost to the Jets, too, though.
What'd you say?
I said the Cowboys lost to the Jets, too.
Well, I mean, I understand that, but it wasn't no 45-3. Hell. 45-3. I mean, I get that.
Something like that.
45-3, the Jets? Yeah, nah, come on, man. Come on. Anyway.
Yeah. All right. This is going to be a tough game. This is going to be a tough game, and I went out on a limb here, but I got a lead, so I can do that. New England versus Houston. Houston's at home. Pop is going with New England. I'm going to take Houston. And Black Thor is taking New England. Who you got?
Yeah, I don't have time to be messing around. So you ought to take anything but Dallas over New England. I didn't but jump on that. So I'm going to stick with Tom Brady. He always finds a way. And if Houston finds a way to make silly mistakes, and Deshaun Watson, I don't know. Something is wrong over there. They might have changed coaches simply because of the fact that they're not getting as much much out of Deshaun Watson and that whole team as they need to. So, prime time, late at night, I'm on the roll with New England.
Okay. The reason why I'm picking Houston is because, you know, that offense of New England is not kicking on all cylinders. I mean, it's not hitting. And eventually that defense will wear down. Running behind Watson, things of that sort, it will wear down, especially if you keep them on the field. And so until they kind of show me, I'm talking of New England, that they can really kind of get over this kind of offensive slump, then I think that Watson, I think they can generate a lot more offense, and we'll see what they can do. But at home, I'm going with the Houston Texans. Last game on tap, which is on a Monday night, is Minnesota versus Seattle. Pop is taking the 12th man in Seattle. I'm taking the home team, Seattle. Black is taking Minnesota. And who you got, Ice?
Russell Wilson, baby. All day, all night. Russell Wilson. Seattle at home.
He's on your fantasy. All right.
All
right.
Day.
Those are our picks.
Look, hey.
We'll... Yeah, those are our picks. We will pick, put them on our Twitter and on our Facebook. And so you, and there are people who really follow them. I talked to some people who noticed how we dipped the last week when we all kind of did bad and when they had that really kind of rough week in the NFL. But people really kind of look at these picks, and hopefully we're making you money. Slide them our way. We need it. All right, we'll take a break, and we'll come back and talk some more sports right here on the Goon Squad Sports Radio Show. Welcome back to the Goon Squad. Ice, did I steal that name from you for the new show I'm going to try to put on?
I mean, I don't know, man. I mean, we talked about something. I told you, I think I was going to call mine On The One. Whatever. Don't matter, man.
Okay.
It's all love. It's all family, brother. Don't worry about it. We good. Look, as long as the point, you somehow or another, you got to the point where you had a funk show, right? It's all about it. It's in the family. As long as you include me, drop me a couple dollars when you make it big, you know, let me get some tickets to the concerts, I'm good. Y'all love, brother. Long love.
We'll talk offline
minute,
on
I'm
it.
Late,
I want you to be a host
look,
of it. I want you to be
look,
a host
if
sometimes
I'm,
on it.
Look, if I'm late to the game and you know it's a hit with a single, drop it. We all will get paid.
But I'm gonna talk offline because I've been wanting you to host for a long time. I'm putting you on the spot on the air, but you gotta be the host on this. You gotta be the host on this. The
one,
reason why
one
is because
hosts.
Brother, you are so versed on music history and funk that you cannot not be a host on a show like this. You can't.
You can't.
I know you're gonna get me later. But that's that's one of the reasons why I'm doing this show, because you got so much history about where the funk came from, who the funk is. Yeah, you got to be
on
this. You got the host.
You gonna make me go back to the old school, like they say in Dayton, Ohio, by a group called Platypus. Platypus. Look that up, ladies and gentlemen. Platypus.
See what I mean?
But I don't know anything. I'm just reaching for straws, brother.
Don't believe it, folks. This is my man, plus 50 grand. I'm telling you. Brother's knowledgeable about stuff. All right, man. They came out with the full list of the semifinalists for the NFL Hall of Fame. Let's talk about that for a while. I know that there's some folks on this list that I'm like, first ballot should be. You have Steve Atwater, played for Denver. I think he's the first ballot. He also played for the Jets. You got Carl Banks, the linebacker from the Giants, also played with the Washington and Cleveland. Rondé Barber, played for Tampa Bay Buccaneers and was a cornerback. I don't know. Tony Boselli, definitely. Played for Jacksonville, a tackle. Isaac Bruce, first ballot, don't know. Leroy Butler, probably cornerback, I mean a safety from the Green Bay Packers. And he's been a semifinalist three times semifinalist, so this may be his year. Alan Fonseca is a guard for the Pittsburgh Steelers from 1998 to 2007. May get in. Terry Holt, I don't know, played for the Rams. I think won the Super Bowl with the Rams. Steve Hutchinson, the guard from Seattle, Minnesota, and Tennessee. You got Edgerrin James. Don't know about him. John Lynch, probably would get in. Clay Matthews definitely would probably get in as a linebacker. Sam Mills would probably get in as a linebacker for the New Orleans Saints, Carolina Panthers. Troy Polamalu, first ballot. Simeon Rice, I don't know about first ballot. Richard Seymour, defensive end and tackle from the New England Patriots and Oakland Raiders. I don't know, first ballot. Steve Tasker, special teams and wide receiver. I don't know. Fred Taylor, running back for the Jacksonville Jaguars and the New England Patriots. Zach Thomas, linebacker for the Miami Dolphins and the Dallas Cowboys. Hines Ward will probably make first ballot. Ricky Waters, I don't know. Reggie Wayne, definitely first ballot. Patrick Wills, not sure. And if they make Darren Woodson first ballot for those interceptions in the Super Bowl of Pittsburgh, I'm going to be highly upset. But Ice, looking at that list, man, he don't deserve that. He didn't deserve the MVP. I'm going to be highly upset if he gets Darren first ballot. But from that list, man, give me your thoughts on who should be first ballot and who might need to wait a while.
Oh, man, this, when I looked at that list, I was like, oh, no matter where you go, it's going to be some people hurt. So I'm going to just break it down each one at a time. Steve Atwater definitely should get in just because he was dominant, and he played football at a time where you could still hit people. And what he did with the Denver Broncos was second to none, so I think he should get in. Definitely Carl Banks. Carl Banks was part of, like, the old school Pittsburgh when they had their with Mean Joe Green and him and whatnot. You think about the Giants with Lawrence Taylor, guys like that, just so dominant that Carl Banks, is, he's waited a while, deserves to get in. Rondé Barber, nah, man, not just yet. I mean, down the line.
Yeah, I was up in the air with him, too.
Yeah, yeah. Tony Boselli, I can see it, but he had a limited short career, so I think he could wait a little bit. My issue was, so I'll say no. My Isaac Bruce, I can't tell the difference between him and Torrey Holt. I really can't. When you think about it, I just don't know.
True.
Who is it? It's the same guy. Same guys playing in the system. So I'm going to say no. Leroy Butler, pretty good. Damn good. But I don't think just yet. I think he can still wait a turn. Possibly with Alan Fonseca. He could get there because he played strong. I wouldn't be surprised if he made it. He probably wouldn't be on my list right away. No on Terry Holt just because I said I couldn't tell the difference. Steve Hutchinson was really tough for Seattle early on, but I'm not sure if I need to think a little bit more. I would take Allen F over Hutchinson if I had to choose a guard because of his longevity and what he's able to do. If I had to, over Hutchinson. Edgerrin James, no doubt, bro. I know you said you didn't know. Edgerrin James deserved it. Yeah, because, see, for me, I look at it this way. When I remember football back in the day, when you had a running back on a team that really wasn't making a lot of noise, they weren't going to the playoffs, but the guy was still getting yards. And from 1999 to 2005, Edgerrin James was putting in work. He was making it happen. And he was oftentimes the only thing moving on that team. So I always look at that. I think about Walter Payton. I think about Barry Sanders. Not put him in the same class, but he was always making yards. So he would definitely get in for me. John Lynch, kind of a ceremonial thing, a type of pick because people like him. And he was very what's the word I want to say? He was very consistent.
He was solid.
He had a lot of help.
Yeah, he was solid.
He was, but he had
solid,
a lot of help.
But you're right. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, a lot of help. And that's why he'll probably get in, so I'll probably say yes. Definitely Clay Matthews, man. Anybody that plays for the Cleveland Browns from 78 to 1993, nor the losing that went on over there,
and you still
dominant? Hell yeah, he get in. Clay Matthews definitely. He gets in. Also, too, Sam Mills, man. Sam Mills was a monster, man. You know, we learned a lot about him after he came to Carolina, but he was putting work in New Orleans, so definitely. I think Troy Polamalu, everybody like, yeah, I can see him waiting. They probably put him in because he's a fan favorite. I think he can wait, honestly. He was great.
I think Troy is first ballot. First ballot.
Why is that? Why is that?
Because he, to me, and maybe I'm speaking as a fan, but he carried the mantle of the Pittsburgh Steelers defense when the past guys like Blunt, and you had all those different cornerbacks and defensive backs. He played above and beyond, and this is a guy who's a defensive player that would get in the highlights. He wasn't catching footballs. He wasn't scoring touchdowns. He was just you had to know where he was on the field in order to make sure that he didn't blow up plays, because he had every defensive play, he had the ability to blow up the whatever the offense was trying to do, or a kick, a extra point, or a field goal. He had that ability to kind of change the game on the defensive side of the ball. And the only other player that you can think of who did that was Lawrence Taylor. They didn't play the same position, but Lawrence Taylor had that ability to change the game on his side of the ball. So that's why I said Troy Polamalu, got to be first ballot. If he's not, that's something wrong.
And I get that. I can understand that. Maybe I'm thinking I'm more old school than I am the new school, and I don't have a problem with getting in, but I think if you only pick a certain amount of people, then he can wait. That's just me. There are some guys on here that I think maybe because they've been waiting a while, they should get in. So I don't know. I can see that both ways. Simeon Rice, I think he deserves to get in. Simeon Rice was dominant on some not great teams, but I like the way he played the game. I think Richard Seymour was good, very good, but I think he can wait. Steve Tasker was excellent, but I think he can wait. Fred Taylor was a very good back, but that's what he was to me, so I think he can wait. Zach Thomas, kind of dominant at times, but maybe he can wait. Hines Ward definitely can wait. I thought he was good, but
really?
And you might be – yeah, I thought he was good, but he wasn't. If you ask me – I'm going to give you this real quick. Hines Ward or Troy Polamalu, who's going in? Which one?
Have to go Polamalu first.
Okay, that's it. That we talking about. Now, there we go. Then you just said what I needed to hear. That's why Hines Ward can wait. Anyway. You just made my argument. Okay. Thank you. But Ricky Waters, you got to put Ricky Waters in there, man. You got to put him in there. And he didn't play a lot. But Ricky Waters was, I'm coming to the park. You know who I am. I want to make these yards. You may not like me, but damn it, it don't matter. I'm still getting my 200-plus. He was just, he came in with an arrogance and a confidence, and he played on not the greatest teams, but it's kind of like Edgerrin James. Them dudes running hard as hell, and they're getting the yards on bad teams. I love that. I love that. Anybody that can do that consistently. It's like watching the old Baltimore Colts, Burt Jones playing quarterback. You understand what I'm saying? And Roger Carr.
Yeah.
Knowing they're not going to win no damn Super Bowl. But every week, they come in out there and they put it in. They got those numbers, and they might surprise you. That's Ricky Waters to me. Ricky Waters put it in. Reggie Wayne, I think he can wait. Patrick Willis, solid player.
Reggie Wayne can wait.
Aaron Wood. Huh? Yeah, he can wait. Yeah. He was good. Yeah, he can wait. He can wait because I'm looking at this, only so many people getting to get in. If 10 people get in, then Reggie Wayne's there. Reggie, I'm going to throw this at you again. Reggie Wayne or Polamalu?
Polamalu.
Okay, then. See, you keep making that argument for
But Polamalu is so high up there. So
I'm just saying, I asked you a question. This is the question. Some people got to get cut.
That ain't a fair question. That's not a fair question.
Yeah. Reggie Wayne, you got to make a choice. Reggie Wayne, Polamalu. Pick your choice. Which one?
I feel like I'm being, I'm the little brother being tricked. I feel like I'm the little brother being tricked, man.
Look, hey, you don't feel that good about Freddie, right? Feel that good? You just ask me, but you didn't feel that good about it because of your answer. Anyway, Patrick Willis, no, just not this time. Darren Woodson, nah, he was part of a good team. Bryant Young was solid, part of us. He was a lot of longevity, but I think he can wait. But that's just my opinion. It doesn't really matter. It could be. I'm sure you because the way you came across so strongly with Polamalu, there are a lot of people that like him that way. I think he'll make it. Reggie Wayne too, but I still think that I'll just say this, and maybe it had nothing to really do with what happened with him later on in his post career, but.
Mm-hmm.
Reggie Wayne received a lot of love, has respect, but I don't think you go Reggie Wayne, Randy Moss, and I know that's an unfair comparison, but do you just go,
no,
damn, he was
not
one of the greatest. Yeah, but you just go, he was very consistent. Do you go, was he one of the greatest of all time? Do you do that? Do you even think of Reggie Wayne in the same thing as you think of Fred Biletnikoff?
No, that's not fair. No, that's not fair.
Michael Irvin?
Those guys had Hall of Fame quarterback. You got Kenny Stabler, and then you had with Biletnikoff. Yeah, you had Kenny Stabler, and then with I think Kurt Warner's a Hall of Famer, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So some of these guys had Hall of Fame quarterbacks. Some of them really didn't. So, yeah.
Did Reggie Wayne play with Peyton?
Yeah, he did, I think.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
I'm trying to look at it now.
Isn't Peyton Hall of Famer, right? Or soon to be?
Yeah. No, not yet. Not yet.
Well, soon to be? When? At some point?
Well, he's going to be a first ballot.
Okay, right. I mean, so, you know, I'm just saying. There we go, that Reggie Wayne thing. Anyway, but that's just my opinion. Like I said, it's all.
So, let me ask you this.
Sure.
How many do they have a limit on how many go per year?
I don't think so, but I think that they try to. The last time I checked, it was like six or seven, maybe seven, maybe. It might go to eight.
Okay.
But I think it has to be. If it's certain ones that they go, we really like them. Then they roll. They do what they got to do. But I know they don't want to put all the whole damn list in there. I know that much. I mean, I can see them going as high as eight.
Yeah, because if Leroy Butler, this is his third time, then I would think that, okay, we got to let him in, you know.
Because how many times did they have, like, five times? I think so, but I think a lot of times, too, that they worse. It might be like baseball, certain ones, they can go to the Veterans Committee, and they can kind of put them in that way. But when you put them up against stiff competition, that's my point. When you're saying, I don't know. I mean, some of these newer guys, that's why I'm pushing back. You almost have to be more dominant. I know you mentioned about Reggie Wayne, but when you think about Reggie Wayne, are you going to go, Reggie Wayne needs to take your boy spot? Is Reggie Wayne? There we go. Let's do that. Since we're here, here's another one for you, brother. Reggie Wayne, Hines Ward.
Huh? I would go Hines Ward.
Okay, see, we.
I would
go
Hines Ward.
Look, there you go again. See? See? See how this works?
And the reason why, because he won more champion, he played in more championship games. He was a force on his team. He was a playmaker, and he also was one of the best blocking receivers in the history of the league. I mean, he didn't mind. He was dirty, but he was one of the best blocking receivers. When you could do crackbacks and all that other stuff, you can't do that now. But he almost played like a tight end. And being a receiver, and he was a team leader.
There you go, though. See, you just said again why Reggie Wayne should not be in first time. See how that worked? You made the argument.
But he played like Reggie Wayne played for like 13 years. He played
okay,
for 13
that's great,
years.
But
I mean,
I just asked you, Hines Ward.
You can't deny that.
Which one? No, I'm not. But is he better than Hines Ward?
Well, both of them should be in before Ricky Waters.
Oh, how dare you? How dare you? How dare can you say that? What did Reggie
Wayne win? I take both
win?
Of them over Ricky Waters.
What did Reggie Wayne win? Was he a force by himself?
Didn't Reggie win? No, but Reggie Wayne was a Super Bowl winner with the Indianapolis Colts in 2006.
Okay, with Peyton Manning as the star.
Yeah, right. But he was the receiver. He got his
okay.
ring. Does Ricky
okay,
Waters
that,
have
did,
a ring?
No, but did, when you said the name Ricky Waters and you said that team, you go, he's the only thing they had. That's what I'm talking about.
No, didn't he
That's
play
a real football player?
I'm trying to think. Huh? Who did he play with? Who did Ricky Waters play with the Colts?
Like,
I mean, with the 49ers.
They had a little squad, but it wasn't like Ricky Waters was like. For a while, he was.
Was Garcia the quarterback?
Might have been
young.
No, it wasn't young. I don't think it was young. Might have been Garcia. But there was
and
times
then,
Ricky Waters was all ahead.
Yeah, and then with Philly, was that McNabb?
Yeah, I think it was.
Was it McNabb? Okay.
Right. He's working through it, but
and then,
yeah.
And then with Seattle, I don't know who he played with Seattle.
Jim Zorn, no, I'm just playing.
All right, let's put this to bed, man. Let's put this to bed. But it should be interesting who they pick. So we're going to take a break. We're going to come back and talk some NBA basketball, man. And I want to tease this a little bit. Jimmy Butler called out his former Sixer teammates, man. I got a big problem with this. We'll come back on the Goon Squad Sports Radio Show. Holding it down. We're going to talk some NBA basketball. Before we go to our eye test, I saw this, man. I completely got mad, man. Listen, NBA players, if you play with Jimmy Butler, man, don't trust that dude, man. Don't trust that dude. He is calling out his Sixers teammates saying, oh, they didn't play hard enough, blah, 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 blah. My problem with this, Ice, is that what has Jimmy Butler done to be calling out folks? He hasn't won a championship. I can't remember how many playoff games that he's been a part of that he's won. He hasn't been the Eastern Conference championship. He kind of thinks, and I've been saying this all along about it, I can't put my finger on when it changed. I think it changed when the young guy came in to come in here and coach with the Bulls, and he got rid of most of the team and kept Jimmy. And then when Derek Rose left, and then they brought in Dwayne Wade, you saw this attitude change with Jimmy where he thinks he's a, you know, one of the elite players in the league and deserves a bunch of money, which, you know, I guess he got slapped in the face over the summer when he didn't get the max contract that he was expecting. But I'm like, what has this guy done to be trying to call out people, trying to say they don't work hard enough, they can't keep up with me, this, that, the other. I'm like, I understand. You know, I give him respect for working hard, getting in the league, because nobody expected him to even be in the league. I respect that, you know, he is an NBA player that, you know, could hold his own in the league. But if I was starting off a team, I'm not picking up Jimmy Butler. He's not a guy like, oh, I got to have him on my team. So, you know, he plays with the Sixers, and, you know, they get to the playoffs. They almost get over the hump. And then he goes to another team. He did the same thing with the Bulls. He did the same thing with Minnesota. So I'm saying, if you're an NBA player, Ice, and you're playing with Jimmy Butler, you know, you need to kind of watch this dude. And not really kind of – I wouldn't mess with a dude like Jimmy Butler. I wouldn't hang out with him because I don't trust him. Your thoughts about what Jimmy Butler is doing as far as calling out his former Sixers teammate?
Yeah, well, the fact that they was able to move on, I don't think that it's necessary for him to kind of go after his former teammates, but that's just my opinion. But the one thing I do – we'll say this, though – is love him or hate him, Jimmy Butler, when he goes to a place, he makes a difference. He does. And you say what you want to about Minnesota. He felt like they didn't step up. And granted, I guess what kind of leader are you looking for? So he may not have been the consummate leader that you want, but he made plays. And you look at Philadelphia last year, for all of the Simmons, and then you think about Embiid and all of the Covingtons and all these other guys on there that a lot of people swore, even with Tobias Harris, were the guy. When he came down to the playoffs, the man was Jimmy Butler. He took the shot. He made shots. He didn't back away. Now, was he the greatest? Is he the best player? No. But until somebody shuts him down by with their play on with these guys that he played with on the court, it's hard to go off of. To me, it's hard to kind of throw dirt on him too much because he backs up his play. Like right now, he's the leading scorer of this Miami Heat team. 18-9, they're the third seed in the East. I don't know, man. I mean, I understand what you're saying by the no need to talk about your former teammates like that. I don't agree with that. But in regards to what he's, maybe there's some truth to it, but I'm thinking you don't have to say it. How about that?
Yeah. My thing is, if he was that big of a man, then he would have stood up to Kawhi Leonard, who handed him his lunch in the playoffs and put them out the playoffs. He couldn't do anything with Kawhi Leonard.
Can I throw one thing at you, though?
That's the team y'all played. Yeah,
can I throw, they did go to the end with them, didn't they? When did that fadeaway jumper?
But, you know, you couldn't shut him down.
All I'm going to say is this. I'm just saying this. Did anybody shut down Kawhi last year?
No, I mean, very few people did, but he's talking like he's on that level where he can do that. When I look at leaders, I look at LeBron James. I look at Stephon Curry. I look at Kawhi Leonard. I look at leaders who I'm going to take this. And I don't even look at James Harden as a leader because when push comes to shove, he can't deliver. I don't really look at Westbrook as a leader. When push comes to shove, he'll lose his cool and he can't deliver. Okay? I used to look at CP3 as a leader, but after just kind of watching him more closely and when it comes pressure time, he just can't deliver. So I'm looking for if those guys have the right to say, you win championships, you're in the Western and Eastern Conference Finals, you have done some things, you have proven yourself, you're an all-star, you're an MVP, then you have the right to say, well, I don't think these guys worked hard enough, such and such and such, this, that, the other. What has Jimmy Butler done to deserve the right to talk about anybody else in this league? I don't think he's done. He's not that accomplished to me to be able to say, oh, they ain't on my level. They haven't worked out. They don't work out as hard as me. They don't have the passion that I have. He ain't at that level. That's all I'm saying.
I mean, I get that, and I see what you're saying. I would never say he's on the same level as some of the guys you mentioned, but he continues to be on these teams to prove him to be the best player on the team. All I'm saying is, where was Embiid? Where was Simmons when they needed somebody to step up? They're having the issues now. on the same squad with Philadelphia this year. They thought it was going to be Tobias Harris. Now what? All I'm saying is I agree with you. I'm not saying he's top tier. You're not going to say put him in the same class as LeBron and them. But when he consistently provides these numbers and is at the top of these games and he's not afraid to take a shot, you are in Chicago. As much as they dogged him and talked about him and saying this and that, Jimmy Butler, when he wanted to, when needed to, he was the man. Minnesota's the same way. All I'm saying is the reason why I think he's saying it or he can say it is because when he played with these guys, he was the best. He was seen to be the best player on that team. And I'm like I said, you might say, well, he doesn't have the right to do that. But if you're playing with somebody and they're putting up numbers, and you would think, here's my thing, you would think by him saying this stuff or even before, because he was clowning his teammates in Minnesota during the season.
Yeah.
You would think somebody mm-hmm. would step up and tell him, shut the hell up, I'm showing you my game. My question to you, and this is going to be a favorite thing for Black Thor to interject in later on down the line, he's saying, Big Cat, where the hell you at, Towns? Where was you at? If I'm pushing the button, why don't you respond? Why does it take you 3 years later, Wiggins, to respond? That's only my point.
You know, I get that point. But even though I did not like what Kobe did to his teammate, because Jimmy Butler is doing the same thing that Kobe did to his teammate on his way out. Even though I don't like it, I can't fault him for it because he's earned the right to do that. He's won the championship. He's accomplished some things. So he has the right to do that. He has the right to chew out the teammates. Like I said, I did not like it. I thought that was a punk move to, you know, go after your teammates and practice and yelling at the general manager and all that, get me somebody to play with. But he earned that right, Kobe Bryant. Michael Jordan, when he did that, he earned that right. Jimmy Butler has not earned a damn thing in my book. So I don't care if you are the leading scorer of that team. You ain't bringing no champ. You ain't bringing a ring to that team. You ain't bringing no MVPs. I don't even think you're the player of the week. And so for you to run off on your mouth, to me, he's just setting up that he people are not going to want to play with him after a while because, like, I can't trust this dude. Or this dude is kind of calling me out. And what if they are? We don't know what's behind closed doors. Maybe they are working hard and doing all that stuff, but it ain't to what he wants or his standards. And to me, your standards don't mean anything to me because you haven't accomplished anything. And maybe some of the players feel that way too. Like, who are you? You're just part of the team. You're doing your thing, but you ain't coming off no championship and MVPs and all these awards and all-stars. You're not doing that. So why the hell am I listening to you? Bring me a baller in here that I can listen to. And so that's my point with him. It's like he hasn't earned that right yet. But he wants to beat his chest and I'm the best, I'm this, that, the other. Okay, cool. But do something first before you start doing that. Earn that shit. Don't just kind of run off at the mall and then chastise the players that you just left, that you're supposed to be. To me, I always look at sports as a brotherhood. You know, you're in it, and you do what you do, get as far as you can, but it's a brotherhood. We worked as hard as we could to get there. Now, if they didn't work as hard as you wanted them to, then you moved on. You went to other places where maybe they're working this hard, and you move on. You don't go back and say, well, yeah, they weren't shit and blah, 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 blah. Because you've been doing the same thing from Chicago to Minnesota. Now you're doing it to the Sixers. Now if you move from here, I'm wondering, what are you going to say about the teammates he has here in Miami? So that's the only thing I'm saying. Earn it first before you start running off at the mouth.
Fair point. Fair point.
Okay. You mean your eye test, man, of the NBA?
Yeah, lots going on. I got to throw that out there, even though you despise him. Jimmy Butler in Miami is in the third seed in the East. I can only go out once there, too. We're looking at Boston. We know that Kemba Walker had a severe, nasty injury, but they're still finding ways to win. So it just makes, when you see things like that, you wonder how these teams are going to come together. And your favorite guy, Kyrie Irving, is kind of, I wouldn't say he's tanking, but he's missed like 8 straight games or something. So Brooklyn is just struggling, yeah, something to that effect. Milwaukee's starting to come on, getting some players back. But Miami, like I said, is third. Toronto's still hanging around pretty well. Indiana is in a good place. They say Victor Oladipo is trying to work out in the G League a little bit. And when he gets healthy, I think they're going to be dangerous. I think you don't want to see them at all. I watched Washington the other night, and Bradley Beal was trying to play a little bit, and he's doing pretty well. Saw John Wall in street clothes on the sidelines, but Mo Wagner was trying to get
Wagner,
and the other guy, Rui, was getting it in too. So they have a lot of young players, and they don't look great, but they are trying to play a little bit. Moving over to the West, Lakers are just having fun, relaxing, doing their thing. Denver is impressive, playing well. Love them or hate them, Clippers are coasting. They know it's still early. They're not caring, so you might think they lose a game, rest about 8 people. They don't care what you think. Impressed by Dallas, by what they're doing. Houston is still kind of hanging around. I think they're going to fall off a little bit. Utah's making a little run lately, trying to make some moves. And certain teams are coming back to earth, like Phoenix now is 500, 8-8. Teams like that. And Golden State is Golden State. The one thing that really bothers me is when you hear people talk about, man, Golden State is really horrible. Really? Look what they lost. When the champion falls, or the champion, previous champion, people are piling on. Steve Kerr might have said it best. With all that they lost, particularly with D'Angelo Russell being down, he has like a group of 8 or 9 young guys who are out there, and they're giving it all. They give their every night, playing hard, doing their best, and that's all they can do. But people expect you to just a brand name to mean you win, which means it's going to drive you to win championships. That's not the case. Got to be honest. People hate Golden State so bad that you out here talking about. You see, I told you, they're horrible. Well, they're supposed to be horrible. When you lose that many guys to injury and then also off-season transactions, what you expect? But it's a lot going on, but I like it. Like I said, I'm definitely waiting on Victor Oladipo to come back. I think that can be quite interesting.
Yeah, I look at folks like that is that they have probably a favorite team and their favorite team's not doing well, or their favorite team got dogged by Golden State or whoever's the champion, and so they hate. I try not to hate on teams that go through spells like this and just appreciate what they've done. Now, there are teams that I just really don't like, but I don't hate. I try not to hate on them. Hey, they accomplished it. They accomplished what they accomplished, and that's it. One of the things I did want to say about the Clippers, with George and Leonard back, they're looking good. They're not gelled yet, but you can kind of see that when they get it together, they're going to be forced to reckon with that. I think everybody's predicting that they're going to be in the Western Conference Finals. But what impressed me, and I think we've been talking about this all year about the Clippers, is their defense. When they clamp down on you, when Beverly and what's the other guy, number 5 from Louisville? I forget
Montreal,
the guy's name.
Harrell.
When they clamp down on defense, man, it's like, wow. Because there was a game last week where they were behind, and in the fourth quarter, they were like, okay, enough of this. We're going to clamp down on defense and pull this one out. And so it's just a matter of time once they start gelling. And I think I even saw an interview with George saying, you know, we're just playing by instinct right now. But once we start getting the system down and start really kind of knowing where everybody's supposed to be and everybody's role, then I think it's going to start clicking. And my thing is you don't want to do that too soon in the season. You don't want to peak too soon and then burn out. You want to get that chemistry just right, so you know what you're capable of, and then make that run in the playoffs. The Denver Nuggets are scary to me. And they're just in the cut, just waiting for the Lakers to have one of their spells. And so they're 9-1. The Lakers are 9-1. Denver has won 6 in a row. The Lakers have won 8 in a row, going for 9 in a row, I think, tonight. But Dallas has kind of impressed me, and I said that in the beginning of the season. With the lineup that they had, I thought they were going to be decent. And you see kind of Houston kind of sliding behind Dallas, but they're still playing well. They're still playing well with a 7-3 record in the last 10. Utah with Connolly and that group, you can tell that they're starting to gel. They're starting to get it together and really kind of build on what they're doing. Minnesota has slipped. There are 5-5 in the last 10. And like you said, Phoenix has come back to earth a little bit. But, man, I wish that Booker could go somewhere else. I really do, because he deserves to be on a team where he can gel with somebody. The team that I think that he would do real well with out of the East is Milwaukee, because they lost Brogdon, and Brogdon was a three-point shooter and defensive guy. I think Booker would work really well with the Greek Freak there in Milwaukee in the East, because he could bring what I think Milwaukee needs, that kind of Western kind of swag to the East. Looking at the East, Milwaukee is up top, number one, followed by Boston, Miami, Toronto, Philly. You talked about Indiana, Brooklyn, and we could talk about Kyrie Irving. Same thing, different team. Same thing, different team. We talked about it, I think, a week and a half ago or a couple of weeks ago, where when will the Nets figure out that, this might not be the guy? And I'm so glad, being a Knicks fan, I'm so glad. And me and Black said this at the simultaneously one day when they were talking about Kyrie going to the Knicks, and we were like, I hope he doesn't. I hope he doesn't go to the Knicks, because he's like a walking injury. And now they're talking about the mood swing and the lack of leadership and all this other stuff. And Dinwiddie is really kind of carrying that team while he's been out. And so I know ESPN would have liked him to be there going up against his old team, but I'm not even going to say conveniently hurt, but it just so happens, as fate would allow, he gets hurt. He can't do this. And so I'm watching college instead of that Boston Nets hookup. But I hope Boston kind of wins that game too. But, you know, it's the same thing, new team. And it's what I expect from Kyrie. I mean, he was hurt at Duke, hurt in Cleveland, hurt in Boston. What makes you think he was going to be any different going to the Nets? And you're paying a whole lot of money for that mess. And so you'll get KD back, but, you know, maybe they'll be the walking wounded. I don't know. I just didn't see. I get that friends want to play with each other, but I just can't see KD and Kyrie winning the championship together. I just can't see it, because each one of them is going to want the ball at the end of the game. And I could see a blow up happening if somebody misses a shot when the other thought they had a better shot or a better, a hotter hand. And I could see that blowing up with the way KD is moody and the way Kyrie is moody. I could just see it. I could just see it. I'm not psychic. I could just see it. Your thoughts of the eye test and some of the other games that you've seen?
I mean, it's a lot going on. Like we said before, you think about what is going to happen with these teams, and you got to give it up to the way that Milwaukee's playing. Like I said, I still think they need a few more pieces, but I want to see how that happens. A lot of things are happening with the Sacramento. Let's do it, San Antonio Spurs. There's issues going on down there. There's talk that maybe DeMar DeRozan could be on his way out. Wouldn't that be bizarre? He's on his way out to 6-12, and maybe they could move him somewhere else. And the question is, where does he go from here? That would be kind of different from that standpoint. I'd like to see more out of Chicago. I'm really sad for them, because I like them. I know they're a young team, but they might have to change coaches and get some things going on over there. But I like to see them playing better, doing some different things. And also Sacramento. I just don't know if Luke Walton is the answer. But I will say this, even though they're putting some things down on New Orleans right away, I think that New Orleans is New Orleans putting it down on the Lakers tonight. I like the fact that New Orleans, their front office said, you know what, we're not afraid to make these moves. We let Anthony Davis go, and right now we're below 500. I get that, but we're going to clean house. We're going to start from scratch, bring in some players that really may have had the opportunity before, and we're going to build. And that's what we're going to do. And I think because they did that, along with the GM Griffin, they're going to find a way to be a lot better in the long haul, down the line, than most people think. And I love them for that. Granted, it's not going to pay off right now, but you bring back the big fella, Zion, and they start moving some things around, I think they're going to surprise you. Because a lot of those Lakers cast off and a few other guys really want to prove to you that they belong in the league, and not only belong, but also can play on that next level with some of the upper echelon teams. So I'm looking forward to them for the future. I really am.
Okay. You mentioned the Chicago Bulls, and there's something I'm feeling from Zach LaVine. I think Zach LaVine is going to leave Chicago unless they get rid of this coach. Him and this coach have not seen eye to eye from day one. And I was talking to this about this with a friend of mine yesterday, and basically what I said is that Zach LaVine is one of those players, you got to let him go, you got to let him play. And this coach is not letting him do that. And it seems like the coach doesn't have confidence that he can do what he does. Because in my heart of hearts, I believe Zach LaVine is the best player that the Bulls have. He's the best player that the Bulls have. He can score. He's a slasher. He can play defense. He's an all-around player. But it seems like this coach has got them kind of tied up in a system that doesn't fit the talents that this team has. And so either one or two things are going to happen. Zach LaVine is going to leave and ask to be traded and get out of there, or this coach has to leave and they have to bring in a coach that can utilize the talents of this team. You got Kobe White over there. He's a talented young man. You have some building blocks you can really build off over there. You have Valentine over there, Denzel Valentine. You're not even utilizing him. Not utilizing him at all. You got Wendell Carter. You got marketing. You have some talented players over there, but this coach, I don't know if he is just not is it, you know, my way or the highway, or just not that experience of working with young men and motivating these young men. But I think there's going to be something has to give in order for the Bulls to get any better, because they're not going to get any better with this coach. And I don't know why they really kind of – I thought he was kind of a holdover until they got to a coach that could really come in and do something with the talent that they have. But I think with him there, I don't think that he can attract more talent from the outside. And so the Bulls are kind of stuck. And I'm not sure, and I don't want to bring some folks in maybe in the next few weeks to talk about the Bulls. I know Intelligent Ray, who follows us on the Goon Squad Sports Radio page, I know he's kind of an expert on the Chicago Bulls. He's a basketball gym rat, so and an expert, and he follows the Bulls. I mean, everything you need to know about the Bulls, he knows. But I like to get him in here to kind of pick his brain on what he's seeing and where they need to go. And I will say this, and I said this a long time ago, that the worst thing that the Bulls could have done, and that's why they're in the spot that they're in right now, is when they took Boston to seven games in the playoffs in the first round. That was the worst thing for the Bulls, because basically it kept Paxton and Gar's job, the general manager and the president of the team's job. And they just been messing it up. So the players played, overachieved, and saved their job, and now they can't do anything. They're really not the guys that are going to take this team to the next level. They make some decent draft picks, but they haven't built a team that could kind of have the chemistry to do what they need to do. It was different than Jerry Krause. Jerry Krause, love him or hate him, Bulls fans, he had a way of putting players together that fit together, that had certain roles, so they wouldn't be playing over each other. You get the sense watching the Bulls that everybody doesn't know their role. they're playing over each other, and they're trying to play outside of themselves, and they just get in each other's way. Case in point, when they get big leads on, they had a big lead on the Lakers one night, had the Lakers beat, and just lost a 15-point lead. LeBron James and crew came back, won, and the rest is history. So when you don't have team chemistry or folks that know their role and can hold down that role, you can't beat anybody, even one of the best teams in the league. Any other thoughts on NBA basketball before we go back to boxing and Gamboa and Davis are fighting this weekend?
I think we kind of touched base. I was looking over at the Bulls stats, and you look about how many young guys that they have, and then you look at the stats, you look at LaVine, leading scorer on that team. Markkanen is right there behind him at 13. Kobe White is averaging 13 points a game. Wendell Carter, 12 game. Otto Porter Jr., even 11 points a game. So there's talent there. I think the right mix of veterans would do them well. I just hope they don't, when they start to make moves, that they don't just destroy the nucleus of the young players that they have right now and build around it, but we'll see.
Yeah, yeah. All right, I know you, Javonte Davis and Gamboa. Gamboa kind of disappeared for a while. I think he lost his last fight. I'm not sure. I know you know it better than I do. But what do you see in this particular fight? It seems to be that they're equally matched. But what do you see in this fight with these two fighters, man?
Yeah, well, the thing about this is Gamboa is the type of guy that he's been around for a long time. He's given some people some trouble. He's been around. It's a lot longer than most. This is the opportunity for Javonte Davis because he's going to take Javonte Davis to deep waters. If I'm not mistaken, I had to look that up real quick just to think about it. But I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think Gamboa gave Terrence Crawford a little run. Yeah, he gave him a run. A nice run when he was first coming up. So this is a nice little test for this is a nice test for Davis, because the one thing about Gamboa is old school kind of guy. He's gonna give it to you for a while, but if you don't come ready, he can get you. He will get you, and that's the main thing. If you don't come prepared, he will get you. And even though Terrence Crawford knocked him out with a Gamboa TKO, they went for a while.
Yeah.
And that was early in his career. So this is good for Davis. Davis wants to move up. Davis is calling out a few people. They're looking at maybe Santa Cruz, who's very dynamite, even perhaps down the line looking at the fight he really wants is Lomachenko. But Gamboa's worthy of but that's what they're saying. And if you call him out, sooner or later it might happen. Or at least he's being hurt. But Gamboa is a steady test of a veteran that's capable of showing them whether or not he's ready to take the next step. This is going to be a hard fight for him. We'll see if he's truly ready. Gamboa's not going to go quietly.
Yeah. I can't even call this fight, man, because they seem like they're like carbon copies of each other. They're both kind of built the same way. So this should be an interesting fight. You mentioned Santa Cruz. Last week I was watching a fight on the undercard of the Wilder-Ortiz fight, and it looked like Santa Cruz broke his hand or injured his hand in the fight. I think that right hand, he was kind of shaking it throughout the fight, and he wouldn't admit to it after the fight. No excuses. The guy that he fought, man, that guy was a worthy opponent, man. And I thought that it was a little closer than everybody kind of thought. But the young fighter that he fought, it was really game. And so hopefully he can come back. And but I don't think Santa Cruz wants Lomachenko. I think people will say they want certain fighters, but I don't really think they do. But this fight I can't call out. I just want to sit there and watch this particular fight with Gamboa and Davis. We already talked about the Ortiz and Wilder fight. We only got a few more minutes left in the show. We already talked about that and on our first 40. So I'm going to give you any kind of last words because the victors go to spoils. So you could talk. I lost on the air. I was rooting for Ortiz. So if you want to give the folks a little bit about the Ortiz fight and what you observed in that fight, you can go right ahead.
Well, I mean, you call him what you want to, call him a knockout artist or whatever, but the one thing you can't say about Deontay Wilder is that he's afraid to take on any challenge, and he's not. Even the so-called fight about Fury that people will say he lost, okay, I can see that or a draw, but he fought him. He stepped into the ring. He fought Ortiz for the second time. He was a very difficult and talented opponent, and he knocked him out again. So, love him or hate him, all I'm going to say is he got it done, and he's moving on to the next one. So, and notice Ortiz did not have anything to say bad. He accepted it like a man, and he lost. But now he's out there trying to find other opponents. Nobody wants to fight him. I think that should speak volume about what Wilder did. So say hello to the new knockout champion or new one-trick pony, you want to call him, a la like Mike Tyson. That's all I'm going to say. You love Mike Tyson. I can't Deontay give me love. That's all I'm asking.
Yeah, and I didn't know Ortiz was that old. He's 40 years old, man. So retirement might
be. Right, but nobody want to fight him, though. If he's 40, fight him. If he's old, fight him. That's what Deontay said. If he's so old, beat his old ass.
All right, man. We are coming to a close to this this episode of the Glue Squad Sports Radio Show. You have any closing remarks or a last-second shot?
Yeah, closing remarks is, first of all, I want to say happy holidays to everybody. Enjoy yourself. We're coming to close to the end of the year. Be good to yourself. Do some good things. Think about what you can do positive next year. And other than that, we just thank you for listening to the show. I know this is not our last show, but I'll say this to you. I'm losing, but I'm going to make a comeback, so don't quit on me. And no matter what you say, Ball Squad!
you know, my last second shot is going to be the last song I play on this show. I don't want to toot the horn too quickly because I don't want to kind of drop this big lead I have. But this is a song by Jadakiss that I'm going to put on, and that'll be my last second shot. We will see you next week. Take care.